But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the epic deets on the end of Ilanold. Move on to the Palantir watching us all. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, American Immigration, Nazi Germany Style. Let's begin, shall we? Did you know that according to the Googles, Americans are internationally known for being stereotypically ignorant, excessively nationalistic, obnoxiously patriotic, and patronistic toward anyone who isn't American? Basically, we're the ignorant egomaniacs of the world. And after having been an American for nearly 48 years, because my birthday is in about 2 months, I can tell the rest of the world they're not that far off from their assessment, especially after 2016. But unlike former President Gerald Ford, I still believe a good portion of Americans are able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And to prove it, let's start with the most hilariously public breakup ever.
Breaking news, war of words.
A pretty intense back and forth.
A very public breakup between the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, and arguably the most powerful man, President Donald Trump.
A fascinating and blistering war of words.
It is getting messier, literally by the minute.
And Elon Musk is wasting no time pushing back.
Posted something on X.
He says, I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it.
A new spending bill should be drafted that doesn't massively grow the deficit and increase the debt ceiling by $5 trillion.
Musk now ramping up the pressure, writing, call your senator, call your congressman. Bankrupting America is not okay. Kill the bill.
I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing. It's not like I agree with everything the administration does. I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration is doing.
And then Elon Musk said, quote, it's time to drop the really big bomb. Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That is the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT.
He said, without me, Trump would have lost the election. Democrats would control the House and the Republicans would be 51-49 in the Senate. He went on to say, such ingratitude.
I can't believe Adolf Hitler actually went there. Yeah, we all know about Dark Maggot spending just shy of $300 million to make the Orange Felonious not have to spend one day in jail, but I'm wondering if Ilania Muscatina is referring to the other thing he may or may not have done to get Crimes the Clown back into the White House. You know, that election thing with the election computers.
Apparently, Elon created an app and he knew who won 4 hours before the results. He had like the most accurate data.
And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, and he knows those computers better than anybody, all those computers, those vote counting computers. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
You know, it's only because they rigged the election that I'll be your president.
And what happened is they rigged the election and I became president. So that was a good thing. That was a good thing. That was quite an achievement.
Oh, yeah, sure. Definitely for you. I mean, you were already convicted of lying and fraud on the state level. But then there were those federal charges for decorating your bathroom with America's most secret secrets. And let's not forget about leading your fourth meal warriors to the Capitol for a bit of breaking and entering, building a gallows to hang Mike Pence, and smearing shit all over the walls, because of course they did. But I digress. Because it's only fair and balanced if we listen to both sides of this bromance gone wrong. So here's Eric's dad.
I think the Elon Musk thing really caught the president by surprise, and I hear he is furious.
I'm very disappointed in Elon. I've helped Elon a lot. Look, Elon and I had a great relationship. I don't know if we're well anymore. You saw a man who was very happy when he stood behind the Oval Desk. And even with the black eye, I said, do you want a little makeup? We'll get you a little makeup. But he said, no, I don't think so, which is interesting. I'll be honest, I think he misses the place. I think he got out there and all of a sudden he wasn't in this beautiful Oval Office. He's not the first. People leave my administration. At some point, they miss it so badly. And some of them embrace it and some of them actually become hostile. I don't know what it is. It's sort of Trump derangement syndrome, and they become hostile.
The source in Trump world claiming that Elon was, quote, butt hurt, in part because the bill didn't include giveaways to his companies.
Musk is upset that the spending bill cuts the electric vehicle tax credit. The White House denied his request to have the Federal Aviation Administration use his Starlink satellite system.
Donald Trump posted on Truth Social. He says Elon was wearing thin. He asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted, that he knew for months I was going to do, and he just went crazy. Plus, we're learning Musk had hoped to stay on with the White House as a special government employee beyond 130 days, but apparently the White House didn't accommodate that.
Trump went a step further. The easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's government subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised Biden didn't do it.
Well, now that you mention it, maybe it wasn't in Joey the Robot's programming to cancel contracts with the Musk from South Africa. I guess you didn't think that grumpy old man conspiracy all the way through before posting it to your knockoff Twitter website. But then again, no one ever accused Ronald Grump of thinking, or reading for that matter, which is why the only way to brief the presidents daily on what's going on in the world, otherwise known as a PDB, is to put it on TV. Well, sort of.
From inauguration till the end of May, he had had, according to his public schedule, 14 PDBs.
Tulsi Gabbard is considering bringing on a Fox News producer and a network personality to present the briefing, tailoring it to how the president actually prefers to consume information by watching Fox News.
I'm sorry, what in the 78-year-old toddler has way too much screen time is Tulsi, the Russian spy Gabbard, actually thinking? Encouraging the stupidity by hiring Fox Not a News Channel infotainers to read national intelligence and state secrets? The same shit that got Will Smith in big fucking trouble back in 1989, too mind incompetent, is not only certified piss my pants funny, it's also gobsmackingly irresponsible. And then there's the whole drumps in the Epstein files, which is why they don't release them, a fact we all caught on to after seeing pictures and videos going back decades of Pervert Hoover and Jeff having a blast partying at Taka Lago. Oh, and then there is this interview with Faux News.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't know. You don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there because there's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world.
You don't say. Lots of phony stuff, huh? That's an inaccurate way of portraying men like you who take a plane ride to a private island because that's the only place in the world you won't get caught being a disgusting piece of shit. And another thing, Space Karen parading his 5-year-old human shield out there with tiny-handed pervert for the better part of a year. Knowing the whole fucking time his boss was an undocumented pedophile and now saying something only because you got fired?
Okay, the rule book's been torn up now and America is wiping its nasty ass with it.
And on the other side, you have the Trump administration fully aware that the special government twat is riding a ketamine wave with magic mushrooms and a porta potty because the dude can't stop pissing his pants. And then appoints this guy to chainsaw his way through the federal government while high as a kite and doesn't say a fucking word until he blasts your perversions all over the internet? But please, explain to me again why we need to drug test Americans receiving any government benefit when the douche was created by a junkie, while the rest of America watches a hostile government divorce, which is triggering to me and the rest of the Latchkey kids.
We're in the middle of a hostile government divorce, y'all. We got a pedo and a Nazi stuck in a ball. And if you're thinking, wait, I just don't want to be homeless, you probably should have voted for that lady as POTUS. Now that we're a part of messy billionaire drama, please, oh please, can someone bring back Obama? Oh, I just want to know, what the hell do I do?
And while we're on the subject of the dumbest America has to offer, the unqualified wrestling madam running the Department of Education made an appearance on Capitol Hill recently to demonstrate her intellectual prowess, or lack thereof. Roll tape.
What was we ranked nationally in math and reading in 1979?
We were very, very low on the totem pole.
We were number one in 1979.
We spend $1.858 billion a year on TRIO.
Yes.
That's $1,580 million a year. Is my math right?
I think that's right, sir.
And how long have we been spending $1,580 million a year on this program? More than 10 years?
Yes.
So that's over $1 trillion.
Madam Secretary, and I'm not a great mathematician, but I think you were talking about $1 trillion. I believe 1.5 billion times 10 is $15 billion. That's a little bit off from $1 trillion. But
I think the budget cuts $1.2 billion for TRIO.
Well, 1.2, that would be $12 billion, not $1 trillion.
Okay.
So that's your response. When faced with a math question, anyone would think someone running the Department of Education could easily answer, because that okay? It didn't sound very okay. But then again, this is a woman who is in way over her head, and it's not just the math or proper grammar tripping her up. She's also really ignorant when it comes to American history, particularly Black history.
Would you say that it would be an illegal DEI for a lesson plan on the Tulsa race massacre?
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Do you know what the Tulsa race massacre is?
I'd like to look into it more and get back to you on it.
Okay, so I look forward to that. How about the book Through My Eyes by Ruby Bridges, for instance?
I haven't read that.
Have you learned about Ruby Bridges?
If you have specific examples you'd like to
cite. That was a specific example.
I'll be very happy.
It was an incredibly specific example.
I named a specific questions, book. And I will look into it and get back to you.
Thank you. How about a school having a voluntary celebration for Pride Month?
Well, let's make sure that in our schools.
This is yes or no?
We're looking. No, it's not.
Okay. How about social studies standards that teach that President Biden won the 2020 election?
I think our studies should all be taught accurately.
Yes or no?
I think our studies should
be taught accurately. The question was, do you believe that social studies standards that teach that President Biden won the 2020 election is an illegal DEI, yes or no?
I think I have said we should teach accurately. We should.
No, you have not answered the question. I don't understand why you're incapable of answering.
I'm just not giving you the answer you want.
Oh, well, Mommy Dearest, I'm sorry to inform your ignorant ass, but you didn't answer a yes or no question with a yes or no. So you didn't answer the question. For example, you could have said yes and then carried on with your Cheeto kissing as if you knew the copper-colored con man was watching you, but instead you decided to show your stupid ass, pun intended, all over C-SPAN. Quite a bold move considering you just canceled every Job Corps location in the United States, closing the door on job opportunities for millions of low-income high schoolers and young adults who want to be productive members of society. Young Americans who want to get a job and job training because they can't afford to go to college, so they end up taking on more important roles such as nurses, construction workers, IT nerds, and making sure your hotel room's clean. But we're also talking about auto mechanics, 911 dispatchers, dental assistants, corrections officers, cooks, landscapers, even commercial truck drivers. You know, the backbone of our society. But you know, who needs those people anyway, when our own elected officials aren't even reading bills before they're voting to pass them? Because reading is not only intimidating to representatives of a district that's as poorly educated as, let's say, the Neolithic excuse for a congressman from Georgia, but if we're being blunt.
That was rude. That was pretty fucking rude.
Either way, congressional Neanderthal Marjorie Traylor Gangrene thought coming out as an illiterate waste of taxpayer money was the best and only way to explain why she voted for her boss's huge, gaudy billionaire giveaway, and I'm here for it.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, even though the congresswoman voted for the bill in the House, she now says, in full transparency, that she wasn't aware of a section that would strip states of their ability to regulate artificial intelligence for the next decade.
Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on X this, quote, full transparency, I did not know about this section that strips states of the right to make laws or regulate AI for 10 years. I'm adamantly opposed to this, and it is a violation of state rights, and I would have voted no if I had known this was in there.
Here's a lesson for us all. No matter what political party holds office and is in charge, we should all watch carefully the bills that we pass.
Duh. That bad Bill Butch body from Georgia is so unaware of herself. It's giving, I know you are, but what am I? And not for nothing, but reading is in her job description. If she can't read, then regardless of how relatable that makes her to her constituents, she's unqualified to make decisions that affect all of us. Along with all the other reasons why voting the box color blonde Maglodon to Congress was ultimately a really bad idea. But beyond illiteracy, which seems to be a feature of the Republican Party now, this provision they all ignored says states cannot regulate AI for the next decade. Something the dipshit from South Africa would love to be in law, since he's using his own grok alongside with his douchers to analyze everything the government knows about you and me. I'm talking about Social Security, the IRS, Homeland Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and don't forget about immigration enforcement. They've got a friend in grok and the Skynet wannabe called Palantir.
They use big tech to censor you. They use the deep state to spy on you.
We have to make sure that we are protecting the American people's privacy and data rights.
The Trump administration is expanding its partnership with Palantir. The company is reportedly going to build a master list of personal information on Americans.
Palantir, the data mining company founded by the billionaire tech investor Peter Thiel, to compile data on people in the United States for a master database, including a new $30 million contract with ICE to provide near real-time visibility into migrant movements.
As of May 17th, the latest data we have, ICE estimated that it was detaining some 50,000 migrants. More recently, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller told ICE to boost arrests by nearly 3,000 migrants a day.
Just a few months ago, we started hearing about databases within DHS and IRS, SSA, across government being linked together. We've learned that it seems as if this is a process to mix data from government agencies that immigrants often report to, so IRS and tax data, all these kinds of things that can track their most recent addresses.
The latest Republican budget proposal earmarks $46 billion for ICE detention centers.
Oh, and I bet you thought our AI overlords were coming with Austrian accents. But it turns out there's just one artificial intelligence to rule them all. And it's the apocalyptic musings of a tech bro who thinks Sauron was right. And that's because Peter Andreas Thiel missed the entire plot of The Lord of the Rings when he named his abomination Palantir, after the fictional stones used by the bad guys to see into the future. Because he's using his Palantir to spy on every single American, especially the brown ones, right now at least. Which is why I think we all need a refresher on what the fuck Palantir actually is, and how it makes being a dictator a hell of a lot easier. Because knowing is half the battle.
And for those people who are not familiar with Peter Thiel and his Palantir Technologies.
Co-founded by Peter Thiel back in 2003, its mission, providing software that customers use to integrate volumes of data from images to spreadsheets into a central platform where it can then be securely analyzed and interpreted.
It is the company that builds a tremendous amount of defense and military technologies in order to use drones, to track people across the world for American military operations.
Trump enlisted Palantir to build the most expansive surveillance infrastructure in U.S. history. It would integrate sensitive records from all government agencies and use AI to profile behavior and identify individuals deemed risky by the system.
A March executive order pushes all federal agencies to share their data, effectively giving Palantir the keys to the kingdom. Channeling sensitive data like medical claims, bank accounts, even immigration records into one central database.
They're starting to change not just from defense spending, right, but into becoming an operation system for the entire government.
The core issue, though, is who decides? The small island in Silicon Valley that would love to decide what you eat, how you eat, and monetize all your data should not decide who lives in your country and on what your conditions.
Absolutely, my dude. But unfortunately, we've got over 77 million maggots and dictator-adjacent cunts living in this country who go with whatever their dear leader says. So combine those mega pounds of idiocracy with whatever the fuck Musky Buns did to rig the last election, Trump's words not mine, and guess what? We are now living in a 1984-style Hunger Games programmed by Space Karen's first investor and sugar daddy bankrolling J.D. Couch. And fuck you very much for that, Petey. And another thing.
DNA from migrant children, some as young as 4 years old, is being stored by immigration authorities so they can track them if they commit future crimes.
It's kind of giving Minority Report from that movie with Tom Cruise, where yeah. It's to talk about future crimes.
The U.S. government has collected DNA from at least 133,000 migrant kids and teenagers, including at least one four-year-old. The DNA Identification Act lets the government store DNA from criminals in CODIS, a national database. But in 2020, they started collecting DNA from migrants and putting that in CODIS too. The Department of Justice is keeping the DNA on file in case that person commits a crime in the future.
This amounts to a massive expansion of genetic surveillance.
You can agree with trying to figure out how to prevent or find and solve cases that maybe this DNA will help you solve. But finding future and preventing future ones, even for adults, I think that's problematic. But for children...
Oh, I am picking up what you're putting down, and all of that is absolutely fucked up. But think about it like this. This weekend, ICE decided to cosplay as the U.S. military and raid businesses all over L.A. And the locals were not having any of it.
You didn't see that coming?
Crowds descended on the icy Meal Team 6 and even tried to stop the caravan of unmarked cars with law-abiding migrants shoved into them. And one guy stayed in front of the first car of the caravan as it drove off, later nearly getting run over and having to later be taken to the hospital. And may I remind everyone, especially those of you in the back, this is not about getting rid of criminals. Because if that were true, why is the Third Reich going to where migrants work to kidnap them and not where they go to crime? And if this were about people being in this country illegally, which is a civil crime, not a criminal one, why are they going to the courthouses to arrest migrants who are in the process of becoming citizens? And if this were about migrants don't pay taxes, then why are they going to the IRS to get personal deets on these people so they can find out where they are?
This is some bullshit.
And on a closing note, it was really cute that all of a sudden Pygmy Bondi was able to get Kilmar Abrego Garcia back to the United States after fucking forever, since the courts and even the bogus SCOTUS told them to bring him back, but they couldn't, and suddenly they can. Even though this Maryland man is being charged in Tennessee with carpooling across state lines, I guess having the press and the internet trying to figure out just how much of the Epstein files the Floridian fondler is actually in really isn't a good look. So now the impossible has happened. Go figure. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. And we're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.